Thank you, Randy. If you have your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at the time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as I prayed 2 weeks ago for this time when we first looked at this passage, I pray again. I pray that you would open our eyes and our minds to the truths that are embedded in this passage. Father, scholarship across denominations are agreed that this is one of the most challenging teachings of Paul in Galatians. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to not leave this place confused today, but help us to settle into the truth that you have to expose to us through this passage today. Help us to ask ourselves that question again: who is our spiritual mother? Is it Hagar or is it Sarah? And we ask all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. That's a weird question to ask you, isn't it? Who's your spiritual mother, Hagar or Sarah? I can just remember when I began to develop the messages and thought about that question, I was like, boy, that's just going to, I bet it's not every day that you could ask that question. Who's your spiritual mother? You know, we get asked all the time, who is our spiritual father? Is it Satan or is it Jesus? But we don't get the question about our mother very often, but Paul certainly goes there in this passage. If you've got your notes with you today, we will begin in verses 21 through 23, and I'll just reiterate what we talked about last Sunday. And your first blanks there are that Scripture teaches about spiritual slavery and spiritual freedom. Slavery and freedom. How do we know that we're enslaved, or how do we know that we're spiritually free? And the Bible clearly teaches this, and Paul uses this story. Two Sundays ago, we went back and I walked you through several passages in Genesis where we looked at this and the reality and the truth of the story of what happened with Abraham and with Sarah. Abraham had been promised a child, had been promised an heir, and several years had gone by since that promise had been made and no heir had come. And Sarah got nervous, got a little anxious, and went ahead and told Abraham to take Hagar, her slave woman, and he agreed and he took her. And had a son by her, and the son's name was Ishmael. And this was not God's will. Amen? It was not God's will. And that's what Paul is about to explain through this story between Hagar and Sarah. And it's just, sometimes we can make decisions, brothers and sisters, that are outside God's will, and we can find ourselves in a mess. We really can. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. But this mess here has eternal significance to it. And Paul uses this story to help us go back and look and ask ourselves the question, who is our spiritual mother? Which covenant do we find ourselves in? Are we in slavery to the law, or are we in the freedom of the Spirit? And that is a fair question. And that is what Jesus Christ gives us when we profess faith in Him, when we hear the Word of God preached, and the Word of God comes in conflict with our flesh, and that spiritual conviction begins to happen in our conscience. And then hopefully the Holy Spirit continues to convict our conscience. And then we come to belief, and then we are born again by the power of above, the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that Father's Day as well. So here Paul says, Scripture teaches about spiritual slavery and freedom. And he asked this question, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? That's a good question, isn't it? If you're going to live, what he's basically saying is that if you're going to live by what the Word of God teaches, you really need to listen to what it says first. Because what you're living and what it says are in conflict together because you've missed something here. And that's pretty much been his message all through Galatians. And he basically says there's a son of a slave woman, Ishmael, who was born according to the flesh, and a son of a free woman, Isaac, that was born according to the promise. And we learned about God's covenant promise to Abraham and how Abraham and Sarah became impatient and took matters into their own hands. Now look at the second one, verses 24 through 27. And we don't have to read that again, but what he gives you, the basic story. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. And I gave you a little chart there in your notes to help you be able to see this a little bit more clearly. If you have that, look at that because it'll really help you. On one side, you see Hagar slash bondwoman, slave woman. And then on the other side, you see Sarah slash free woman. And then we see the child that was born out of both of those, Abraham and Hagar coming together and Abraham and Sarah coming together. We see Ishmael, who was born of natural birth. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? What did he say? Flesh is born of what? Flesh. Flesh is born of flesh. And then he said what? Spirit is born of what? Spirit. So there's two ways you can live your life. You can live in the flesh. Well, that's what Paul is saying. You can live in the old covenant. You can live in the flesh according to the law. Or you can live in the spirit by the spirit. So we see Isaac had a supernatural birth. If you remember that, the big deal about Isaac was that Sarah was what? Barren. Couldn't have children. But what did God do? Gave her a child in Isaac. Okay, then we see the old covenant and the new covenant. Ishmael being representing the old covenant and Isaac representing the new covenant. And then I thought it was fascinating that we sang Marching on to Zion today. Because what's one of Paul's primary teachings today? We don't belong to the what? Earthly Jerusalem. We belong to the what? Heavenly Jerusalem. That's what Marching on to Zion's all about. We're marching toward the heavenly home of Zion. We're marching toward the New Jerusalem. One day when Jesus returns, the New Jerusalem will descend from heaven. I've got that passage in here to read to you today. It's remarkable how God works, is it not? I didn't tell Him to put that song in there. God led Him to put that song in there. Sometimes I think maybe we just need to leave it that way. You know, maybe I just don't need to talk to Him and just see where God leads Him in the music, where God leads me in the Scriptures, and watch what He brings together on Sunday. Because so far it's been remarkable to me. So it's amazing. So he says, do you not listen to the law? Paul calls on the testimony of the Scriptures to make his point to try to settle the dispute at Galatia, which is a great reminder for us because Paul considered Genesis real history, not a myth, not a fable, not a make-believe story, but a real account of real people God used in unveiling of His will and plan. So your blanks are God has given us historical stories to reveal truth. And what that word probably should be instead of stories is autobiography. Because that's what this is. It's an autobiography of Abraham and Sarah and of Hagar. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Peter for just a second, because this scripture is worth you marking in your notes. It is a very helpful passage that Peter uses, and it speaks directly to where we are today in our culture. Because, as I have told you many, 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 many times, there is a swell of disbelief in the inerrancy and sufficiency of the Word of God. And not only is there a swell in the disbelief of the inerrancy and sufficiency of the Word of God, there is also a swell in denying known history. And it basically, where you hear about it the most in the news is through where? What happened to the Jews during World War II? The Holocaust. We hear that where the Holocaust didn't happen, where the Holocaust didn't happen, the Holocaust didn't happen. What? The Holocaust didn't happen. That's like saying World War II didn't happen. That's like saying World War I didn't happen. That's like saying the Japanese didn't bomb Pearl Harbor. But there is this revisionist push in our history to begin to try to carve out our values and the key things in our history that makes America America and that makes the truth the truth. And they're doing the same thing to the Bible. So if you look at 2 Peter, beginning in chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, listen to what Peter says. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure. Did you hear that? More sure. In other words, it's more significant. And what is it? The prophetic Word of God, brothers and sisters. It's not your experience that you need to be focused on. It's what the Word of God says to you. We have a whole world out there that wants to take their flag and stick it in the stand and say, "I experienced it, therefore I know it's true." No, you know it's true because the Word of God says it's true. Amen? Amen. Y'all are real excited about that one, I can tell. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This idea does not come from Paul. This idea here in Scripture for Paul to go back and bring Hagar and Sarah into a comparison into the Old Covenant, New Covenant was Christ's. It was God's, not Paul's. But Paul used it because Christ told him to. Now, allegorically, what does that mean? When Paul says allegorically, he means that there is a hidden spiritual truth embedded in the way these boys were conceived and how they will live their lives. And he says that when you look at them, when you look at Hagar and when you look at Sarah, you will see two different covenants. You will see two different realities. Number one, you will see Mount Sinai. You will see the old covenant. You will see the earthly Jerusalem, which is now in slavery. That is what you see when you see Hagar and Abraham's joining and the fruit of that joining, which is Ishmael. And then when you look at the new and the heavenly Jerusalem, you will see the fulfilled promise in Isaac. That's what you see. So are you going to be of the slave children or are you going to be of the free children? And Paul is indicating to these Judaizers, this dispute in Galatia, that those who are trying to impose works of the law for salvation into the belief system of those who have professed faith in Christ are actually children of slavery trying to impose slavery onto new Gentile converts in Galatia. What do you impose on new believers in your life? What law is it? What Judaizing tendency do you have that you try to impose upon new believers in Jesus Christ? What is it? Well, you have to do this 1, 2, 3 if you're going to be a Christian. If you really want to understand, if you really want to have God's grace, if you really want to be plugged into the church, you've got to do X, Y, Z. It's not what the Bible says at all. It says you believe. You hear and you what? You believe. And you are born again by on high. Verses 28 through 29. Let's read it. If I can find it, I flipped over to 2 Peter. 28 through 29. Now, you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free. Here's your blanks. Flesh-born children persecute spirit-born children. Flesh-born children persecute spirit-born children. I don't know about you, but that makes me quiver when I think about that. Because do you know how much church controversy there is going around today? Do you know? Do you read? Do you keep up? There is more church controversy going around today than there probably was in the 70s and the 80s during the worst fight between liberal and conservatism that I've ever known. I had to read about it because I wasn't even in the faith back then. But I have to ask myself, is some of the things that we see today among brethren in the church, are we seeing the ancient Genesis antagonism between Ishmael and between Isaac being played out again in the form of legalists, in the form of those that are in slavery and those that are free in the church? Is that what we're seeing? I wonder. Flesh-born children persecute spirit-born children. Paul says, born according to the flesh. Now, in verse 29, he is speaking in the negative sense of flesh. Let's talk about flesh for just a second. There are two ways to understand flesh. One is the positive sense. That's the literal human tissue that we hear in John chapter 1. Remember that passage? The Word became what? Flesh. And the Word tabernacled or dwelled among us. That just means the Word became living human tissue by the power of God on high. That's positive. And then in Genesis 3, we see man and woman become one what? Flesh. The sexual union of the husband and wife becoming one. Then we have flesh in the negative sense. And this is what Paul is using here. And this refers to making decisions according to who? Self. Apart from any consideration of God's Word or God's will or God's commands. That's the difference. Flesh in the positive sense, flesh in the negative sense. And he says, those born according to the flesh are going to persecute those that are born according to the Spirit. And that means emanating from God and imparted to man. Flesh gives birth to flesh and Spirit gives birth to Spirit. I want to be real sure this is clear. This reality in Galatia, Paul says, the reason why this is going on is you can go back to the earliest testimony we have where Abraham in his impatience took a wife that was not his own and had a child outside the promise that was in the flesh. That is Ishmael. And then he said over here, we have Abraham later when God fulfilled the promise, gave him Isaac. And that these two, one was born of the flesh and one was born of the Spirit. And that when his weaning time came, when Isaac's weaning time came, that Sarah looked upon Ishmael and Isaac playing. And that Ishmael, the word there is a little difficult to understand, but something was going on between them that Sarah did not like. The word means laugh, but in context it can mean mock, to make fun of, or belittle. And when she saw that, something inside her triggered. And she commanded that Ishmael and Hagar be put out of the family and to be put in the road. At that time, that's Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 10. What I was just talking about, if you want to know the scripture, Genesis chapter 21, 8 through 10. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing or mocking. Now, something else that you have to remember, and I mean, you got to study the Bible. Okay, if this jumping around bothers you, you need to get over it. And you got to learn how to do it. Because you're never going to understand the Scriptures if you don't do this. You must read, you must study, you must underline things in your Bible, you must take notes, you must learn how to study. If you are ever going to grow in the Word of God and you're ever going to understand fully God's will for your life, you have got to devour this book like no other book on planet Earth. Take the Twilight series and burn it and get in this one. Remember the prophecy, Genesis chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Hagar, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has listened to your affliction. Now listen to this. He shall be a wild donkey of a man. His hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over and against his kinsmen. And that prophecy, as we talked about two Sundays ago, is still being fulfilled today. As the Arabs, as the Ishmaelites, as Islam still tries to conquer the world through militant terrorism. It is the exact problem back then that we have today. It has grown and branched off into different ways. But fundamentally, the seeds of that battle began with Hagar the Egyptian. Flesh-born children persecute spirit-born children. And that spiritual reality remains today. And when there is dissension and persecution in our midst, the children of the flesh are at war, persecuting, mocking, antagonizing, slandering, and bullying the children of God, the children of promise. So you know what? I mean, you need to ask yourself this morning while you're here, anytime something rubs you the wrong way in the church, you need to ask yourself, is this slavery led? Is this flesh led? Am I not getting my way so I'm going to throw a fit? Or is this really a spiritual battle worth waging for God? Amen? That's what you need to ask. Verses 30 and 31. But what does the Scripture say? Did you notice that he started and ended with that? Look at verse 21. Go back to 421 right quick. Look at how he begins and ends this teaching, which is probably why the translation committees blocks this off, 421 through 31, probably because of the way Paul does that sometimes. He does it in Ephesians chapter 4. He begins talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, and he ends talking about forgiveness and reconciliation. But if you look at chapter 4, verse 21, he says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? That's just another way of saying what? Listen to what the Scriptures say, right? Then if you look at chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, what does he say in verse 39? Or verse 30? But what do the Scriptures say? He's calling their mind back to the Word of God. Why? Because what word are they using as authority to be Judaizers? The same Bible. The same Scriptures. They're using the same stories to try to make their case. So Paul goes in and digs a little bit deeper and goes to the covenant of Abraham and turns it on their end and tells them, you're actually the slaves. These are the free. These Gentiles are actually children of the New Jerusalem, and you're children of the mountain. You're children, you're slave children, and they're free children. Wonder why he got chased out of town with rocks a bunch? That's why. But what does the Scripture say? Boy, we don't like this as Americans. Boy, this is as politically incorrect as it comes. Cast out the slave woman and her son. For the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. He takes Sarah's own words and implants them in Galatia and uses it as a command to give them and direction and how to treat the Judaizers and the church they're dealing with right now. The son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. And your point is, spirit children and flesh children are incompatible. Flesh-born children and spirit-born children are incompatible. Incompatible. We can pray about it, think about it, have as many meetings as we want to, but at the end of the day, this is a spiritual issue. It is about the blood of Jesus Christ. It is about being children of promise or children or slave children. And they are incompatible. That's not to say that at some point a slave child can't become a child of the promise. Right? He's already talked about all that in chapter 3. But when you try and you plead and you beg and you bear with them and you have patience and you try and you beg and you plead and you're long-suffering and you continue to go back to the Word of God and you continue to try and you continue to try and it continues to be deceptive and it continues to be disruptive, it becomes very obvious that you are dealing with a slave child, not one born of the promise. And Paul says very clearly, cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. And the best passage that I found in the New Testament, other than what Paul is teaching in Galatia, to reflect the same thing he is saying about that, is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 16. And it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Yoked. Yoke doesn't mean that you can't have a casual acquaintance with a slave child. That doesn't mean that you can't have a friend at an arm's length who's lost. We all have to have that to evangelize. What that means is being yoked. That's an Old Testament term that means this big wooden thing that they used to put on animals that would drag plows through the dirt. And you couldn't yoke two different animals together because what would happen? The power wouldn't be equal. The horsepower or the oxen power wouldn't be equal, so it would be weird and it would be hard and difficult to get them to cooperate to farm properly. Never would they get along. Never would they work well together. Why? Because they're different. At a DNA level, they're different. And that's what he's saying here. Spirit children and flesh children are incompatible. Cast them out. That bothers me. Doesn't it bother you? Do we want to cast anybody out? I don't. But the Bible sure says to do it. Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Why would Paul say something so severe? Why would he say something so severe? Let's go back to the very beginning and remember. What does Paul believe about these Judaizers that are teaching and spreading this false teaching in this church? If anyone brings you a what? Different gospel other than the one that I have brought you, let them be anathema. Let them be eternally condemned. Cast them out. Why? Because they are messing with heaven and hell. Because they are messing with the truth of the gospel. Because they are messing with Jesus Christ and his mission in his church. And we are called to what, brothers and sisters? Children of the promise. What are we called to do? Protect it. Keep it healthy. Keep it functioning. And what were these Judaizers doing? They were coming in and teaching Gentiles that they had to be circumcised and had to adhere to the law to have salvation, which was heresy. Absolute, total heresy, incompatible with one another. And he said, cast them out. Let us pray. Father,